May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 421. 421. To God the only wise, our Saviour and our King, let all the saints below the skies their humble praises bring. Hymn 421.
Help us to read the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. For our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Betha. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and help us to pray. O Lord God Almighty, once again we come to the service of thy house. We've sung thy praises, read thy word, and we ask thy blessing upon that which has been done thus far. And we ask thy blessing this evening, that thou wouldst come down as showers upon the mown grass. Thou wouldst let thy doctrine drop as the rain, and thy speech distill as the dew. That thou wouldst grant a set time to favour Zion, even this evening. Thou wouldst pour out thy spirit upon speaker and hearer, that thy name may be glorified and sinners saved. Lord, we pray, make thy word a living word in our hearts. O Lord, we plead with thy servant Moses of old, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children, And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Lord, thou knowest what poor labourers we are. O Lord, who is sufficient for these things, we do pray that this evening our sufficiency in speaking and hearing may be of thee. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Pardon our sins and save us from our present sinfulness, the sin that doth so easily beset us, the sin of unbelief and all other sins, they so easily beset us. O Lord, but thou art the Saviour of sinners, Lord Jesus. And we plead thy name, we plead thy righteousness, we plead thy finished work, we plead thy precious blood. Lord, oh, may we this evening truly be among those who bow the knee at that blessed name. Oh, that we might worship tonight at Emmanuel's feet. The earth is too narrow to express thy glories. Oh, let us see thy glory. Be merciful, Lord, unto us. Be gracious unto us. Hide us in that cleft of the rock. Our feet on the rock and ourselves hidden in the cleft. Lord, we beseech thee, save us in thy Son. Oh, reveal him to us. Make thyself known, Lord, to us as thou dost not unto the world, that we may love thee. And by that love of thine in our hearts, obey thee. Lord, bless this people. Hear their petitions, yea, do more for us than we ask or think. Lord, a groan, a sigh. Lord, where thou hast put it there, thou dost understand it fully. Lord, we pray tonight, do look down from heaven, from thy sanctuary, thy dwelling place, to behold and to hear the groaning of the prisoner. And Lord, do come and loose the prisoners tonight. Speak pardon to the guilty. Lord, may that word be fulfilled in his days. Shall Judah be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Lord, maintain this church and people here, we pray, and build them up. Lord, unite them closer and closer together in Christ. Oh, we pray for the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. And we ask, Lord, for that fruitfulness. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon this garden, that the spices thereof may flow forth. Oh, do it for each of our hearts individually. We may prove to be part of thy garden, plants of thy Father's right hand planting. Lord, help us in our daily lives to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, to walk worthy of thy blessed name. O Lord, do pardon our walk which is otherwise. Forgive, Lord, we pray, all ungodliness. We beseech thee. Lord, do help each of the youngest to the eldest to walk in thy fear and to walk in love and to walk by faith and not by sight. Do help thy people in their afflictions and weaknesses, infirmities. Remember those, Lord, who have now come to that time of life where the grasshopper has become a burden, the grinders are few, the almond tree flourisheth. They that look out of the windows are darkened. Man goeth to his long home. O Lord, we pray, prepare us. O make thyself our home, Lord Jesus. Lord, the home may be eternal rest, the fullness of that which is entered into when a poor sinner believes in Christ. O Lord, do grant that entering in by faith this evening, an earnest of that entering in and being with thee. Oh, may that be our favoured portion. Lord, we plead as the hymn writer, in Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood. So may I lift my head with joy among the sons of God. We pray again for the families to help and be with them. Remember the family, Lord, that have a wedding tomorrow, God willing. We pray thy blessing upon the couple, thy presence and help through tomorrow and through their life together. Do help each in the family. And Lord, we pray for our young people. Lord, do help them to seek thy direction in these tremendous matters. And those that are married, Lord, help us. Give us grace that our marriage may be to the glory of God. And we pray for those who've lost their husband or wife and feel so bereft and know so much loneliness. Lord, do make up the breach. Lord, if thou shouldst do it, it will be more than a making up of the breach. Lord, we pray, comfort then those that mourn. Do be a husband to the widow, a helpmeet to those that have lost their helpmeet. And according to thy holy will, Lord, do grant thy continued and renewed provision according to thy holy will. Direct each one of us, Lord, in every step in our life. Bring together those whom thou hast appointed. To be helps one to another. And do make us so. And Lord, as church members and members of congregations, do give us the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be a help to each other and not a hindrance. Lord, we pray for the spirit and the mind of Christ. Hear prayer then in all these things. And Lord, we would not multiply words. Thou knowest our need. And Lord, thou knowest our need as we venture on in this service. Lord, help me. And help the friends, Lord. Lord, may there be a flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew, to the glory of thy great and holy name. And Lord, to the good of our poor never dying souls. Bless deacons, bless ministers, bless hearers. Bless thy people, feed thine inheritance, lift them up forever. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Let us now sing hymn 962. Come, dearest Lord, and melt my heart, thy animating power impart, blessed source of life divine. Jesus, thy love alone can give the will to rise, the power to live, for every grace is thine. Hymn 962.
in dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, reading verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. As you sung in that hymn just now, only the Lord has the power to make his people rise up. It is a rising up in spiritual love, in spiritual life. And Jesus said, didn't he, I am the resurrection and the life. That is what gives him that peculiar power to say, rise up. We are in ourselves dead men and women. The Lord's people are paradoxes, aren't they? Through the new birth, there is life in them, that spiritual life. But by that spiritual life, they feel that without the special putting forth of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are dead. But who is it he speaks it to? My love. My love. He doesn't speak it to anyone else but the one he loves. That love is an incomprehensible love. There is no reason in her why he should love her. My dear friend, this evening, if you are searching in yourself for a reason why God would love you, you'll never find it. If God loves you, it's because of him, not because of you. He loves because he will love. Paul speaks of that great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. And that Jeremiah said, didn't he, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You know, as you get older, child of God, you find even less reason why the Lord should love you. And you find every reason why he should cease to love you in yourself. But remember what he says in the prophet, speaking of the treacherous people of God, and speaking of how he regards them, in contrast to how men regard treacherous dealings. They say, if a woman leave her husband and be joined unto another, shall her husband have her back again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But I say this, yet return unto me, saith the Lord of hosts. I am married unto you. I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and bring you to Zion. My love, my love. That love is the foundation of salvation. Because of God's love to his people, he made his Son, Jesus Christ, the rock on which he would build that church. He loved her in him. The Father loves, the Son loves, the Spirit loves, with an equal love. But it is the Son who is the channel, shall I say, through which the love of God flows to sinners, the channel through which every grace of God flows to sinners. Now, he is the one who, as we were saying this afternoon, stepped into time, the eternal God, stepped into time as the man Christ Jesus to be the blessed daysman, kinsman, redeemer of his Ruth's. She said to Boaz, didn't she, "Why hast thou taken notice of me, seeing I'm not like unto one of thy handmaidens?" His love. And you see how he had drawn her. I mean the heavenly Boaz, overruling, overshadowing, controlling the whole of the matter. Arise, my love. My love. Given me by my Father. Purchased with mine own precious blood, my love. Oh, the Saviour loves sinners. The sinner is such a suitable wife for the Saviour. For she is that one on whom all his blessed graces, all that he is, may be poured out. He is such a character as exactly fulfills everything she needs as her husband. Oh, what a blessed husband Christ is to his bride. His love is better than wine. Grace is poured into his lips. But all that redemptive sacrifice of his, that glorious righteousness, her garment, and that strength of his. Oh, what a weak bride Christ has, but how strong she is in him. What a foolish bride he has, but how wise she is. He is her wisdom. It isn't a good looking bride he has, but he is her beauty. Moses said, didn't he, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." And she cannot be fruitful but by him. His Hannah cannot bear children like Peninnah can. She can bear children only like the bride of Christ can. He maketh a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. And this is what the Lord is at in our text. This is what he is doing when he is saying to his love, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." I thought of that dear young girl in the Gospels, Jairus' daughter. You remember she was sick. Jairus went to the Lord Jesus and asked him to come and heal his daughter. And he said he would come. But then the woman with the issue of blood comes to the Saviour and detains him. She obtains that blessing. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She obtains that wonderful sentence. Daughter, go in peace, thy faith has saved thee. And as he is speaking that wonderful sentence, the messengers come from Jairus' house, saying, trouble not the master, thy daughter is dead. Perfect timing by the Lord Jesus. He said to Jairus, fear not, believe only. Is it your case or someone dear to you this evening as it was with Jairus's? And the message has come, thy daughter is dead. Is there one coming here this evening? And the message has come from Almighty God by his law. Thy daughter is dead. Fear not, believe only. And when Jesus went to that house, he put out all those people who laughed at him when he said, she sleepeth. But he went in with the mother and the father of the girl, and he took her by the hand, that dead girl. He took her by the hand, that cold hand, that lifeless hand. And he said, Talitha Cumi, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And immediately she arose. Life poured into her. The resurrection. When we think of the resurrection, we think of Lazarus, don't we? Perhaps we don't remember as we should, Jairus's daughter. Of course, it was the same resurrection. It was the same person that raised them. Now he says, arise, my love. He puts life in his love. The person he loves then is in themselves dead. Oh, I can't emphasize this strongly enough to the glory of God. You see, Jesus said, didn't he, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God should be glorified thereby. You cannot know salvation but as the resurrection from the dead. The poor sinner here this evening that is mourning not only over the transgressions you've committed, the sins you've committed, the laws you've broken, but you're mourning over the deadliness, the deathliness. You say, oh, if I had life, there would be hope. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Arise from trying to find life in yourself. Arise from trying to find life in the forms and the customs of religion. Arise from trying to find life in intellectual religion. Arise from trying to find life in the church. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Arise, my love. And come away. Those wonderful words, come away. We shall never cease to be amazed to hear Jesus say to us, come. It's sovereign. It's distinguishing. You remember there's going to be two sentences that he's going to give in the day of judgment. And one of them is come, and the other one is go. All of us deserve for him to say, go away. And if we were dealt with according to what we are in ourselves and what we have done, that's what we must hear. But to his love, he can't say that. To his love, he says, come away. Come away. In other words, come with me. And there are other places, aren't there, in this song where those are the actual words he says. I think particularly, I tried to speak from it a time or two over the years. Come with me, my sister. Come with me from Lebanon. From the leopard's dens and the from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards, from Lebanon. Come with me from the very most beautiful things of this earth, from the very most fruitful places of this earth. Come with me, for I have something infinitely better. For the most fruitful places of this earth will one day be burned up with fire. It's good to be reminded of that, my dear friend. This is that which the Lord brings into the heart, and that he gives the believer, the child of God, to look upon things in that light. Every building that has ever been built on this earth, as one man put it, one notice should be put up in every building to be burned. And that applies to all God's works in creation too, doesn't it? Come with me. Why? For I will lead thee to a land that will not be burnt up. I will bless thee with things which will not pass away. I will grant thee riches which do not wax old, garments which do not wax old, riches which no thieves break through or steal, things which no rust or moth corrupts, eternal life, treasure in heaven. Come with me. With me. Arise, my love, and come away. Oh, how the Lord delights in the company of his people. He is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call Rahab the harlot his wife. He's not ashamed to call Ruth the Moabitess his wife. He's not ashamed to call Mary Magdalene his wife. He's not ashamed to call the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well of Samaria, the woman of Canaan his wife. Come with me. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Arise, my love, and come away. There are several places which I might, as the Lord enable me, briefly speak of that the Lord calls his people away from. Firstly, this world in its religion, its maxims, its ways, its customs. We've mentioned Ruth, how by the Holy Spirit God brought her away from Moab. And it was a change of heart, wasn't it? There was love put in her heart to the God of Israel and to his people. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. But it takes the power of Almighty God to do it. You see, we've got a heart by nature that is in league with this world. Am I speaking this evening to people, perhaps the young ones here and older ones too? And you're finding the world is too strong for you. Its allure is too strong for you. What does the Lord say? To one of it, regarding one of his people who has found the world to have too great an allure and they've gone after her, he follows after her. He hedges up her way with thorns. She does not find her paths. She follows after her lovers but doesn't find them. And then he says, behold, I will allure her and bring her into a wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Come away. Come away. Come away from that world. Come away from this earth, its ways, its maxims. Oh, the power of the Lord's love. Now, I want to make this clear, that when we say the Lord is calling his people away from the world, we must remember what he said in his prayer in John 17. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. You probably know that there are those in history, and they are there today, and they interpret this as meaning that they must physically separate themselves from the world. Martin Luther, he was struggling with indwelling sin. He was struggling with all the distractions of this world. And he thought if he shut himself away in a monastery, that would be better. But you see, he couldn't shut himself away from Martin Luther. But he found that he only got darker and further from God, and then the Lord shone into that cell. And that's all we can call the monastery rooms. They're like cells. But you know, when there's one like Martin Luther in there, whom the Lord loves, he can shine into the darkest place. And he did. And the truth he shone with into that prison cell, into Martin Luther's soul, was this. Really, that subject this afternoon, Jehovah said, can you, the Lord our righteousness. Martin Luther was trying to find, to work a righteousness of his own. And that's why he went there. But God the Son, by the Blessed Spirit, showed him that he was his righteousness. And he became his watchword, didn't he? The just shall live by faith. and how that brought him out of that place. He had to arise and come away. Come away from that worldly system that set a man trying to make himself righteous. The second place then, and it ties in with what I've just been saying about Martin Luther. Perhaps there is someone in this congregation this evening, and you have become involved with a people that, though they may on the surface and by the profession boast of justification by grace alone, really their religion consists in justification by their own works. Now, if you're one of Christ's loved ones, if you're one whom Christ loves, you're like a fish out of water in that place. That's no place for you. There's no food for your soul there. We were saying this afternoon, what help is it to say to a poor sinner who can't do whatever it is needs doing, you must do it more? Well, if they can't do it, how is that going to be a help to them? Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Because the one who says, come away, is not the one who's going to say to that one as they come away, now you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do the other. The one who says, come away, is the one who has said, it is finished. Come away. Saul of Tarsus had to come away. And he said afterwards, didn't he? It's drawing near the end of his life, right into the Philippians. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What communion hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? You cannot sit at the table of the Lord and the table of devils. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. You see, he calls her his fair one. My love, my fair one. Oh, that's the one who can say, the Lord, my righteousness. Because her fairness is in Christ. He is her fairness. What a gospel. A sinner, and I mentioned it this afternoon, who does not say something untrue when she says, I am black. Look not upon me because I'm black. And yet you see, she was speaking to her God and asking him not to look on her. And he in reply says, thou art all fair, my love. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. My fair one, come away. What is all this works of the flesh got to do with you, my fair one? You see, when he says to you, my fair one, it has the power of the resurrection. What is connected with our death, inseparably connected, it's our unrighteousness. We are dead because we're wrong. The sentence of being wrong is the sentence of death. But if God, the blessed Son, say to you, my fair one, arise, He's declaring that all your unrighteousness is covered. You are not seen by God in all your filth, in all your wrongness. God views you as perfect and complete in his dear Son. Now that's connected with the word arise. Because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is inseparably connected with the eternal life that he gives them, himself their life, himself their righteousness, himself their life. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. The next place I'll speak of then in connection with this, which the Lord calls his bride away from, her own house. He says, doesn't he, in the psalm, hearken, O daughter, forget thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. What does he mean when he calls her away from her own people and her father's house? There is no righteousness, there is no life in natural parents. There is no life in our first father, Adam, and our first mother, Eve. The Lord is calling his bride away. And you see, this is beautifully set forth in the type in a marriage, isn't it? The young man shall leave his father and his mother, and the young woman too, of course. And they shall cleave together, and they shall be one flesh. That's the Lord's purpose. We know that, and I think especially of wartime, you know, we have heard probably, and perhaps some relations of yours, there was such poverty, there was such lack of homes for people and so on, that sometimes when a couple got married, they had to live with their father and mother for a little while. But oh, how thankful they were when the Lord provided for them their own home. That is the scripture, that is the divine order. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. You see, previously, she was under the headship of her father. She reverenced him rightly according to the law of God. Paul says, doesn't he, with regard to chastisement, with regard to fatherly correction, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. How much rather shall we be in reverence of God the Spirit? That one who previously provided for you, your father, that one who previously had the responsibility of your care, who watched over you, come away. You're under my care. You're under my responsibility. You're under my provision. You say, what does this mean for me? I've lost my father and mother a long time ago. It means this. Come off all dependence upon fleshly means.
My dear friend, there is no fleshly provider can provide for you what Christ provides for you. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They've sometimes referred to that word that the psalmist penned, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now there's many of the Lord's people, and naturally speaking, their father and their mother haven't forsaken them. Blessed be God. There was that love that endured till the end of their lives. But are not every one of the Lord's people brought to that point? I know I was. Oh, I thought so much of my parents. So much that I wished I would die before them. I couldn't bear the thought of losing them. They meant so much to me. But oh, when the Lord began to deal with my soul and I saw my father and mother couldn't save me, it was as though they'd forsaken me. Up till then, everything I needed, I went to them for. But I couldn't go to them to pardon my sins. I couldn't go to them to save my soul. I couldn't go to them to be my God. Come away, come away. And this is, I might also, I believe, here at this point bring in this place that the Lord in his appointed time says, come away from. You think of that mountain that the Lord's people, Israel, came to in their journey from Egypt to Canaan. They came into the wilderness of Sinai. And Moses was called up by God into the mount, and he gave him there the testimony of the law. And he appeared in the form of he showed his presence and his glory and majesty and the awfulness of that law in the thunder and the lightning and the smoke. And the people trembled. And the Lord mercifully said to Moses, set a fence about this mountain, lest the people draw near and touch it and be consumed. But you see, they had to come to that mountain. And as you're one here this evening, and you've been at that mountain perhaps a long time, you've been hearing the thunder, the threatening of God's holy law. You've gone around feeling a dead man walking. As we said this afternoon, you feared the ground would open up. You feared that every loud sound you heard was the Lord coming to banish your soul into hell. Well, what did the Lord say to the people after a certain period of time? Ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn northward. Now, north from Sinai was Jerusalem. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away from Mount Sinai. Now, who can say that to a sinner but Jesus Christ? And who can he say it to but his love? Everyone else must stay at Mount Sinai and perish at Mount Sinai. But none of his shall. North of Sinai was Jerusalem. Outside the gate of that city was a little hill called Calvary, which is the greatest hill on this earth, where the Lord of life and glory was to suffer and bleed and die. Turn northward, arise, my love, and come away. You see, the Lord leads his bride to Calvary. You won't get there otherwise. by the Blessed Spirit, and you think of that hymn, conduct, bless, guide thy sinner train. You see, wherever the Holy Ghost is, Christ is. Conduct, bless, guide thy sinner train to Calvary, where the Lamb was slain, and with us there abide. Point out the place where grace abounds. Direct us to the bleeding wounds of our incarnate God. Jesus drew near to those two on the Emmaus road, and he said to them both, in effect, arise, my love. Fools and slow of heart to believe, but you're my love. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And as he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, he said, arise and come away. Come away from your reasoning. That's what they were doing. As they communed together and reasoned. And all their communing together and reasoning sunk them lower and lower. They got further and further. Physically, they were going further and further away from Jerusalem and from Calvary. The very direction of their journey physically was wrong. It's as though they're leaving Jerusalem, though they've heard the record that the Lord is risen. They don't believe it. If they believed it, surely they wouldn't have left Jerusalem. Come away. You see, the place the Lord takes his people is not a physical place. Although there are instances in which we can speak of this being a physical moving, and we might get to that if we have time. But you see, my dear friend, it's a spiritual. Oh, their heart burned within them as the spiritual truth of what Christ, ought not Christ to have suffered these things. Oh, when Jesus says, come away, come away, come away with me by faith to Calvary. Come away with me. You see, the text goes on to speak of the following verses. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. He has to tell her that. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle, the voice of the Holy Ghost, the dove, is heard in our land. And so on. You see, they had to have their eyes opened to see it. And you see, he's saying, come away and I'll show you the flowers that are appearing on the earth. I'll show you that the winter is past and the rain is over and gone. Poor woman, I have to show you these things. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. He will take her to his banquet in house. His banner over her will be love. Come away. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. He's speaking of a walk with him. What a blessed thing. What a blessed thing. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Now this walk with him, it is in everything spiritual and it is in everything temporal. You see, the Lord Jesus, though he came to this earth principally, to establish that blessed, glorious kingdom of his grace in the hearts of his people. It was for a spiritual purpose, to redeem his people, to give them spiritual, eternal life. Look how he attended to the providential needs of his people. Take, for example, the disciples when the Lord sent them to preach. And that may be what the Lord will say to one of you here this evening with regard to the work of the ministry. Arise, my love. Christ doesn't send people, men to preach, but those whom he loves and who he has brought to love him. I remember when the Lord spoke those words to me, having put me on a hospital bed, under the exercise of the ministry. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And he showed me that he was drawing me in that path in which I was after going to go with him in the work of the ministry. But you see, when the Lord sent his disciples to preach, it was in effect, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. He sent them two by two into every place whither he himself would come. In other words, though he wasn't physically going to be with them, they were going to go with him in that work. And wasn't it the same after he had ascended into heaven? He gave them that fresh commission. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And they went forth and preached the word everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. But the particular thing I was going to bring before you regarding that first sending, he sent them without scrip, without purse, not having two coats. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. How did they have to go? Dependent upon him, come away. Come away from dependence on yourself. Perhaps it's a word for someone this evening regarding the ordinances of the Lord's house. You know, until the Lord says arise and come away, until he says arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, you can't go, can you? Not if you're an exercised child of God. Other people might think the time has come for you to go, but Christ knows the time for you to go. And it's when he says, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Come away with me. You see, the whole blessed theme of the ordinances of his house in the baptism and the coming to partake of the emblems at his table in remembrance of him. It's all to do with him. It's all to do with his sin-atoning death, his burial, his resurrection, and the giving of himself as the bread of life, the shedding of his precious blood. This do in remembrance of me. Arise, my love. You see, if Christ assure you this evening of his love, that love will be sufficient for you to venture on. You know, we look upon the Lord's people, don't we? in those early days of our spiritual experience, and we esteem them as the excellent of the earth, and we see that grace in them, and we don't feel to have it ourselves. But who is the source of the grace of every true member of his church? Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know, I draw upon adventure, and I had no intention of speaking like this at all. But it comes to me now, so I must say it. The Lord knows what it is that is holding you where you are. My dear friend, he, in his person, in his words, in his work, in his love, there is a sufficiency. Thy people shall be willing in the day of my power. I remember dear old Mr. Short from Chippenham. He used to mention the ordinances. And he used to speak like this. If it be the case of a man, there is the additional apparent hindrance. He knows he will be called upon to speak in public prayer. But you know, if the Lord say to that one who daren't go even because of that, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, you will feel assured that in his presence, following him and with him, he will give you all the grace you need. And that's it. You know, if we try to pray without the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, may we be completely, those of us that come in this way, those that speak in the prayer meetings in this place, and wherever it is you're based, really know as we go to prayer, the Lord say to us, arise, my love. We need it. Otherwise, we're just praying our own thoughts. God forbid, we're not praying at all. But if the Lord say to us, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, don't speak to the people. Speak to me, he says. Don't preach. Pray. Oh, don't feel that a multitude of words is needed. Pray the prayer that I bid thee, that I put in your heart. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Well, if he say that with power, the one who he says it to must go. What is it? Lord, I do want to be with thee. Is your heart like that? Amidst all your sin and corruption, things you can't even put into words and things you wouldn't speak before others, deep down in your heart, you want Christ. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. In that coming away, I will discover myself to you. Is that what you want? You remember those disciples? It was at that time when John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And then he repeated it, and when he repeated it, we read the two disciples of John heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Through the words of John Baptist, Jesus said to them, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And Jesus turned round and saw them following, and he said to them, what seekest thou? What seekest thou? And they said to him, Master, where dwellest thou? And Jesus spoke another one of his comes. He said to them, come and see. Come and see. And they dwelt with him. Was it for that day? Yes, it was just that day, wasn't it? Oh, what a blessed place to dwell. Where Jesus is. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. You see, come away from this dust, this clay, that we so cling to, don't we? You know, if you try to separate yourself from the dust of this earth, you never will. But if the Lord separate you, and one day, of course, it will be done in completion. We want to come to that in just a moment. But if in this life he draw near and say to you, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. By his word, by the power, by the love, by the mercy, your soul, is it in this book or in one of the Psalms, the Lord's voice makes the soul of the child of God like the chariots of Amminadab. Draw me, we will run after thee. Oh, is there one here this evening? Oh, may you have heard this from the Lord's own mouth. Perhaps you came in here feeling as full of this world as you could hold. My soul cleaveth to the dust. As we were saying earlier on, wherever you try and put yourself, you'll still be the same. Whatever you try to do to yourself, you'll still cleave to the dust. The psalmist prayed, didn't he? Quicken thou me according to thy word, the resurrection word. Oh, you know, one moment a sinner can be so clinging to the dust, cleaving to the dust, like mud, wet mud to the boots. And the next moment, the Lord lifts them up. Their soul they have found above all the things of this world. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. You some see sometimes, and very often it is, as it was with Jairus' daughter, the Lord uses affliction to bring us to it. David was down in the land of the Philistines. The Lord sends the fire. He sends the Amalekites to take his wives and children captive. And he causes David's men to speak of stoning him. And the word of the Lord to David in all this is, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. This is not your home. Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Is there one here this evening and you need this arise and come away in regard to prayer? You know, I don't believe David was praying until the Lord set Ziklag alight, until his wives and children were carried captive, and until the men spake of stoning him. Arise, my love. Oh, when Jesus says, pray to me. Let me hear thy voice. Let me see thy countenance. I know you think you're too bad a person for me. I know you think you've sinned to the point where I won't take any notice of your prayers any longer. But that's only if you're praying in your own name. That's only if you're asking me to save you because you're such a good person. But if you ask anything in my name, arise, my love, from asking in your name and ask in my name. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will give it you. Sometimes the Lord speaks like this in the movement of his people in his providence. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And sometimes others can't understand the movements of the Lord's people. But the Lord understands it, and he knows. And when he bids, oh, that beautiful Psalm 107, he led them forth by the right way, that he might bring them to a city of habitation. It may be a word for someone this evening, and the Lord is calling you. He may be calling you to a particular calling. And he's saying, arise from that place you're in now and come away. I'm going to lead you into a new place. I'm going to lead you into a new calling. And I'm going to be with you and I'm going to bless you there. But then this last time the Lord says this to his people, the end of their life. Arise, my love, from this earth, from this scene of sin and care and woe and labour. And what a blessed sound that is to a person who says with the hymn writer, weary of earth, myself and sin, dear Jesus, take me in. Arise, my love, and come away. Come away. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You couldn't possibly get to heaven without Christ. Come away with me. Born by him. Come away. Blessed exchange. Come away from that place where you only see me through a glass darkly to the place where you'll see me face to face. Come away from that state in which you keep sinning against me to the blessed place where you will not be able to sin, be impossible for you to sin. Come away from that land where the devil walks up and down as a roaring lion and as an angel of light to that place, my glory, my habitation. Out of gunshot of hell, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Your entrance into heaven will be because you are my fair one. In my love, I will embrace you in my arms forever and ever. You remember in the scripture, it is in heaven that the marriage supper of the Lamb is held. His work of grace here and his people below are the espousals. The marriage supper is in heaven. Come away to that marriage supper. Oh, what must it be to be there? But what a favour for these that come away with him in that great day of judgment. They will hear that word they've heard before. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. My beloved spake and said unto me, Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Amen.
Collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Let us close with hymn 1149. What think you of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. Hymn 1149.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we thank thee for thy word. We believe we've had thy help here this day. Oh, we thank thee for that. And we ask the forgiveness of everything that has been of self. May that be blotted out, but may thy word live in us. May we not leave it all behind. Lord, call us, even from this service. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Grant us each thy safekeeping, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.